I want us to pray this. I was writing on my board in my office about family. And I just began to write words, what family means to me. And of course, you can add to this list, you know, what family means to you. That's a good homework assignment. What family means to you. God bless all our men, and happy Father's Day. Amen. My children came over yesterday and grilled and everything at the house. So it was a great time of fellowship. And we thank God for everyone that's here. Amen. Our guests are here. And we're going to put your hands together for amen being here. Amen. And how many are enjoying the format here? Because, you know, the tables won't be here long. We're going to pull those tables up. Like, I like my table. I got my mint. I got my water. But I think it's been just an engaging time and an opportunity to share. Kind of an informal gathering. But I think last week with Dr. Kennard was just so rich. Amen. Amen. So here are some words that I wrote about family, and I think you can generate prayers from this. Family to me means men, women, children, singles, generations, inheritance. Safe place. Family is a safe place. Means respect, mutual respect, faith, roles. Don't worry about that now. Legacy, inheritance, tradition, promise, covenant. You know, family is about covenant, which is deeper than promise. Deeper than promise. Forgiveness. You ought to have forgiveness in families. Amen. You ought to have forgiveness in families. Come on in. I thought Amora be here. She's still holding out, huh? Forgiveness, affirmation. You should find affirmation in family. If no one affirms you, family ought to affirm you. Sometimes you have to go outside family to be affirmed, because sometimes there's no honor when you become familiar with one another. You don't see the gifts. Sometimes you're too close. Salvation, understanding, and I'm good, man. Salvation, God bless you, the minstrels. And honor, salvation, understanding. You got to have understanding in what? The family. Path. Our families can blaze a path or create a path for others, the generations that follow. Are you with me? Path. Forerunner. Your name, the family name. Identity. You get your identity from the context of your family. I said you get your identity from the context of your family. Good or bad, you come from your family. You are the context of your family. I am a steward. I came from the steward. And you come from that family. You get your context from that family. All right. let's see, forerunner name, identity, purpose, building, families build. Families have conflict. Families have conflict. And hopefully you develop a way to have healthy conflict and not unhealthy conflict. Say healthy conflict.
Healthy.
It's okay to have conflict. It's okay to have conflict as long as it's healthy conflict. Amen. Family is a place of altar. It's a place of reconciliation. It's the place of the Holy Spirit. We don't think about the Holy Spirit in our family. Sometimes that's when we run into trouble because we don't put or allow Holy Spirit to help our family. We deal with our family according to the flesh. And that doesn't always work out well. We don't invite God into our families. It's a place of communication, which we've been talking about over the last few weeks. Communication, which is the foundation of building a family. If we can't talk to one another, we can never build. The opposite is true. If we could talk and get understanding and have mutual understanding, then we can build anything. And we can go far because what? We have understanding in our communication. Today we're going to talk about, we're going to stay on the subject of communication. We're going to have a conversation with men and ladies too about communication. In family, we get our language. I was so blessed last week because one of our sisters shared how she was not even referred by name. She was called a derogatory name and a negative name. And until she got to school, she didn't really know her name. She didn't know her name. So, but that's where we get our language, our name. And then here's just a few more. Genogram, our past. Family is where we reconcile our past. It's a launching place for our children. Our children are in the present, but they will be a product of what they experience now. We are products of our past. And so sometimes you have to go back and say, how did I end up here? Why am I like this? Why am I like this? And it's not always, listen, I'm not saying blame everything on mom and dad. It is not mom and dad, amen, that made you make the decisions. Sometimes you made. Sometimes we made decisions that we knew mom and dad would not want us to make. I'm like, if I only had different parents, I would be somewhere else. Now, well, you kind of assess your decisions you made. It's a place of mission, a place of vision, a place of health, a place of refuge, a place of maturity, a place of change, a place of hedge, a place of glory, and a place of wisdom. And those are just words I came up with when I started to think about family. We're going to have a conversation with men, but I just want to highlight, if I can, two families in the Bible. I only have one, but as I was standing here, I kind of thought of another one that I just want to highlight. And I want us to just think about it as we go into the conversation we're going to have today. I want us to, just kind of think about these two. There's two, and they're very familiar. If you've been around the church any length of time, you'll be familiar with these families. One is Joseph, sibling issues. Joseph and his brothers. It could have been very well Joseph and sisters or sisters. It could have been, instead of Joseph, it could have been Josephine and sisters. It doesn't matter. It was sibling issues in that family. Sibling issues. This, in Joseph's context, Joseph had dreams, and he had aspirations and he had visions that his family, his brothers, did not like. It birthed jealousy, envy, strife in the relationship. And how many know God does not want brother against brother, sister against sister, sister against brother? God wants family to function in healthy relationships. If you agree, say amen. Matter of fact, not only Joseph, but you also get the same thing with Esau and Jacob. Family, brother against brother, sister against sister, and that is not the will of God. So they betrayed their brother, Joseph. You know what Joseph had to do? Even though they beat him, they threw him in a pit, they sold him into slavery. They told his father that he had died. They did all these things to Joseph, but Joseph, he had to bring reconciliation to that family through forgiveness. And sometimes we love families fall apart because someone said the wrong thing. But look at all what they did to Joseph. And, of course, God did what he promised to do in Joseph's life. But then Joseph, God brought reconciliation to that family through Joseph's willingness to forgive. Is the breach worth it? Or would forgiveness go much further? All right, that's Joseph. That's Joseph and his brothers. Now, the next one, the next family is the family of Isaac. He's the son of Abraham. He's in the 26th chapter of Genesis. I won't take the time to read that. Amen. But what Isaac does, he's with Abimelech, and it's a famine. The 26th chapter of Genesis. 26th chapter of Genesis. And he says, I need to go, and there's a famine in the land. God says, listen, settle where I tell you to settle, and don't go any further. Just stay there, and I'm going to bless you. I'm going to increase you. I'm going to enlarge you. And I'm going to pronounce a blessing over our men today at the end of the service with some scriptures that I just kind of God brought to my attention. But he goes and he stays with Abimelech, and God begins to bless him. Matter of fact, so to the degree, man, where Abimelech said, man, you're too powerful for us, you got to go. And in this famine, Isaac goes and redigs the well. He goes back to the wells of his father, Abraham, and he says he goes back to name them after the name of his father. Well, what's the family dynamic here? It's one of genogram. It's one of going back. He goes back. And we're not going to go into this whole text, and we're not going to exegesis this whole text. I'm just going to touch the surface. We'll probably come back to Genesis 26. But here's what I want you to see in this, is that he goes back to the well, goes back to the beginning. Sometimes in family, you have to go back to the beginning. And like we said last week, you have to go back with a shovel. And you have to be willing to dig and redig those wells of communication, those wells of love, those wells of mercy. Amen. And that's work, because if my stranger betrays me, I'm okay. I have no expectation from a stranger. They don't know me. I don't know them. We have no history. But if my son or my brother or my sister betray me, it hits different. It hits different. So I have to be willing to what? go back. So I just want to encourage you, as we're not just trying to preach a message on family, we're trying to really bring reconciliation, restoration to families. We're trying to get you to go after that family member that you just left alone and said, that one's just a fool. I ain't calling them no more. I'm leaving them alone. I ain't going to stress myself. I'm going to keep my peace. Well, that's fine to keep your peace. I mean, you want to keep your peace, but what is the will of God for your family? And sometimes you got to reach out to that one. Amen. All right. Let's get into our discussion today. I've asked some brothers to kind of share on some points, and I want to share some communication styles, and then we're going to have our dialogue and just talk about that. Again, communication is everything. You cannot build your mission, your vision. You can't build your family. You can't go forward unless we have the ability to communicate. So if you're having trouble in communicating, just ask God to heal my communication. Amen. Heal my heart so that I can communicate without the bitterness, without the history, without the unforgiveness, without the regret. Amen. And as we discuss this, you can feel free, if any of you have questions, you can ask questions. Anybody on live stream, amen. Thank God for our connected community. Let's give them a hand. And if you have questions, amen, or comments, amen, you can write them in the comments on live stream. This is a different format this month. All month has been a different format, amen. But it's refreshing, amen. All right. Let's get into a conversation with men about communication. And I wanted to, this is a study, this is an article released from the Princeton Journal, and they talk about four communication styles. And as we read these communication styles, I want you to kind of, there's index cards on your table, and I want you to just kind of jot down what you think, what you believe. And I'm going to need my phone for a moment. I need my phone. What is your dominant communication style? Amen. And if you don't want to admit what your dominant communication style is, ask Holy Spirit to tell you the truth about my communication style. Shine a light, like they used to say. Okay. Let's go with the... Amen. I'll get my phone first. Thank you. All right. And let's go to... Okay. Let's go to the first one. You're a passive communicator you're not locked into one communication style. None of us functions in one style. Amen? Amen. But we may function more often in one than the others. Okay, passive communication. You're not expressing feelings or needs. You don't express feelings or needs. Ignoring your own personal rights and allowing others to do so. Deferring to others for decision making in order to avoid tension or conflict. Often leads to misunderstanding, built up anger or resentment. Come on up front, beautiful, so I can see you. I want you close. Right here, front and center. Have mercy. All right. I mean, listen, after this month, I'm going to go back to preaching. I'm going to be like very, you know what I'm saying? It's going to be really formal. We're going to go back to formality and all that. Amen. I won't be in this church, and I'll shout out Derek in the house. I won't do that. I've known him for a long time. Welcome, man. All right. Here we go. Deferring others for decision-making in order to avoid tension or conflict often leads to misunderstanding, build-up anger, or resentment. Can be a safer communication option when a conflict may escalate to violence. Of course, there's a benefit to passive communication. Examples include statements like, I'm okay with whatever you want to do. Body language includes failing to make eye contact and looking down. That is the passive communication style. All right. Anybody identify with that one? All right. Okay. Let's go to the, we're going to highlight these and then we're going to get into our conversation. So make note of passive communication style. Here's the aggressive communicator. Here's the aggressive communicator. Expressing feelings, needs, and ideals at the expense of others. Ignoring others. Rights in order to support your own. Ignoring others' rights. Ignoring others' rights in order to support your own. Defensive, hostile. When confronted by others, the walls come up. Who you think you are coming to me with that? Often alienates and hurts others. Can help meet your needs quickly. Examples include statements like, this is what we're doing. Get over it. Body language includes crossing arms, eyes rolling, and finger pointing. That's all right. Just say, come out, devil. Come out. Come on, in the name of Jesus. Get the bucket. Just get over it and move on. That's aggressive. So we talk with what? Passive. We talk with aggressive. And I'm going to send this here. Okay. Now, let's go to the next one. Passive aggressive communicator. See, if we get this down, there's nothing we can do once we really identify our communication flaws and weaknesses and be willing to redig those wells and identify them. All right. Passive-aggressive communication, appearing passive on the surface. Just everything is everything, but subtly, acting out of anger. Exerting control over others by using sarcasm and indirect communication. Or avoiding the conversation. Limited consideration for the rights, needs, and feelings of others. All right. Hope that's not a passive-aggressive person calling you. Examples include passive statements and body language, followed by giving the silent treatment, spreading rumors, and sabotaging another person's effort. That's the passive-aggressive communicator. Amen. That's a passive-aggressive communicator. Throwing off. And, you know, so I've been in church all my life. I was raised in church. And sometimes, amen, and you know, in no particular, I'm just talking in general, no But sometimes you'll hear a message and you'll be like, that message is for somebody. Someone don't went down. Because that message is too targeted and too specific. So, amen. So instead of dealing with face-to-face, hopefully they'll get it through this indirect communication. Okay. All right, so that's passive-aggressive. All right, let's go to the last one. Assertive communication. Assertive communication. All right. This is direct, honest communication of thoughts and feelings. Respecting the feelings, ideals, and needs of others while also asserting your own. May not be effective when interacting with individuals that threaten your personal safety. In other words, hey man, you might say, listen, I got something to tell you. I'm just going to tell you the truth, and they holding a gun. You may not, you may want to move on to passive communication. People often misinterpret assertive behavior as aggressive. Americans and women are often mislabeled as a result. Amen. As aggressive, Americans and women are often mislabeled as a result. Examples include I statements like I feel when you and I need for you to do. Body language includes eye contact, straight posture, and relaxed gestures. That's the assertive communication style. All right, you can have this. Did anyone identify their, and let's we default to the men. You know, men, and as I was doing the research, men, we have different communication methods. We don't discuss our language, the way we communicate and things, is different. Even our value system is different. I read an article about why fathers don't really say what they want for Father's Day. It was because fathers really don't get their value out of gifts, but fathers get their value out of production, by taking care of the family. That's really their gift. I mean, that's what they do. That's their value system. If I take care of my family, take care of my kids, take care of my household, that's it. You know what you give me in exchange is respect. You give me respect. She's not working, is she? You're what? You're. Oh, so the kids. Okay. All right. I just didn't want to labor and while we. Okay. Good. She's doing her thing. Yeah, so that's where we get our value. So that's why we don't say give us a gift. You know, just give us love, give respect. Yesterday I had a job. I had to start at 7 in the morning, and Pastor Gail got up at 5 a.m. and cooked me some breakfast. Yes, she did. Amen. See, that's like, I mean, that's it. You know, that shows what appreciation and respect and getting up like that. Amen. I went on and made that money. Amen. Because that's what communicates to men. So our value system is different. Our communication system is different. Let's go to the brothers. Let's go to the brothers. So brothers, as you think about this and you think about your communication, where do you think your communication came from? Your communication style. Did it come from mom? Did it come from dad? Did it come from a combination? Did you reject the communication style? And you don't have to get personal. Listen, you don't get, we're on live stream and all that. You don't have to get all personal, but you can talk in general terms. It's like, this is how I develop my communication style. It comes from this place. Anyone want to share? Your share? Hold on 1 second. You got to have a mic. Oh, you say you got to wait after you raise your hand.
I forget this every week this month, so I'll try this again. So the way that I grew up, because of all of the trauma that happened, my life kind of started going into a really aggressive way, like the way I started communicating because I was always bullied. As I started to develop more recently since I've known you guys, it went more from being super passive and afraid to like kind of say what I wanted because I didn't want to hurt anybody's feelings, to kind of hitting now to this point where I'm looking you in the eye and I'm going to tell you what I'm feeling so you get an understanding and of what I want, because that's how I'm starting to understand that people will get it, even though I'm learning that people don't get it sometimes. You know what I mean? Like trying to understand, like I know that I feel this way and I hope that you understand that, but this is where I kind of stand, and kind of understand that people sometimes don't understand that communication and kind of go passive aggressive or really aggressive. So
but so if I would ask you, out of those four types, what do you think
I would be? The last one, mostly.
What's the last one?
The last one is
assertive.
Conservative. Yeah.
Assertive. Okay,
I'm assertive. You. Yes.
Okay.
But like, it took to develop there.
But you started where?
I started with aggressive as I was starting in my teens, because out of the craziness in the family, you know, and then had to learn how to get
good
there. So
good, good. All right. Thank you. Someone else. We talked about systems, and another thing, and if you have questions, you can raise your hand as well. We'll deal with those. We talked about systems and how communication comes from a system. It comes from a system. We learn it from somewhere. We develop it. And over time, it develops a pattern. We have a pattern. A household that shouts. They communicate through shouting. They just shout. Everybody understands shouting. You really don't get, the kids don't even hear you unless you raise your voice. Because that's just a communication style. And so if I was to ask here, you know, where did your, and basically what I'm asking is, where did your system of communication come from? And if that's too personal, I understand. You know, everybody want to say, you know, but it comes from somewhere. All right. Who identifies, and we're not going to go with the mic, but who identifies with, I'm more passive. I just kind of let people just whatever you want to do. So. Okay. Well, thank you for that. All right. What about the aggressive? How many would say I could be aggressive? You could be aggressive. Like this. I'm aggressive in my communication. Are you aggressive in communication? Oh, so somebody was saying something. You can get the mic. Go. Take. If you want to make a comment, we just need to have it. And you don't have to be on camera either. You could just be your voice.
What have you been delivered from aggressiveness? You know. All my life, I had to fight.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
So, aggressive, yes, aggressive. A work in progress. I view myself now as an assertive communicator. I look you directly in the eye. I say what I have to say. I am learning to pause and breathe and smile as you're communicating with me. Thank you.
Good, 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 good. All right. Now we have passive aggressive. I see. And isn't it amazing that you can kind of function in that, and you seem like everything's okay on the surface, but you really under the undercurrent, you're really kind of frustrated and upset. Yeah. Yeah. I've flown in passive aggressive. I'm more confrontational, but I'm very sarcastic. I could be very sarcastic. Somebody had a Pastor Gail, Sister Renee, Pastor Gail.
Quick question. I really saw myself a little bit in all of them.
Yeah.
But the more aggressive ones are more And I'm like Jeanette. I've been tempering. Like when I send text messages, I put a lot of emojis to mm-hmm. compensate for the aggressiveness and assertiveness of my conversation. But my question is, don't you? Sometimes I say I don't want to lose all of that, you know, because initially I was a person that suffered from low self-esteem, and I found myself, being Good. Abused by people and overused by people. Good. So now it's almost like a persona, or, for lack of a better word, the aggressiveness and the directness is just what I have to do sometimes to get that no out Good. And to counteract the abuse from people that might be more assertive.
Good.
So my question is, don't you think you need a little bit of those?
Yeah, attributes? They all overlap, and we're not stuck into one communication style. This is an article from the Princeton Journal, and we function in all of them. And I think I think Jesus, who is a master communicator, was a master communicator. At times he was assertive, and I think you have to be assertive. In business, sometimes you have to be assertive. Dealing with vendors, you have to be assertive. So the Bible doesn't say you can't be assertive. It just says set the boundaries when it goes into sin, when it goes into cursing someone. Just set the boundaries. But there's nothing wrong with being assertive. Also, there's wisdom at times in communication, because sometimes assertive communication is not the time. Sometimes there's different, like in a certain situation where it could be volatile, passive communication is better. I think as believers, what we can't do is we can't, and then Brother Tony has a hand up, we can't say, this is who I am. This is me. And I think that, and before Tony gives his comment, I believe a lot of Christians are passive aggressive, because we're walking with Christ and we're identifying, I want to talk like Christ, I want to sound like Christ, but I'm so used to cursing people out, so how do I communicate with them without the old person coming out? I want to keep the old person in, and I don't want to sin, so I'll shift to passive aggressiveness, because I really can't voice myself. Or I'm so tired of conflict in my home or my family that I just let everything go. I just let it go. A passive aggressive is sometimes in that communication style, it's just a waving a white flag. You know what? I give up. I'm so tired of arguing with you that I just, whatever you want to do. I just avoid conflict. Amen? Go ahead.
Okay, so I think my communication, I have a little bit of all of it. And I would say the main part came from my father, who was, he was a very stern man. He was a military man. So he was very aggressive, but in a good way. He would always want us to grow up to be, young men, so he would put us in that path on that. But, as I grew up and I started, I got into the gang life, so I became the leader, and I became aggressive in that point. So I'm always used to telling people what to do. Then when I met my wife and I had my children and my wife began to let me see another side, because now I had to learn how to reason and how to listen. Because that was a big thing I didn't have. I didn't listen. I always told people what to do. I was never the one that had to listen. So, it changed me a lot. Just like teenagers, will teach you some things sometimes.
Right, right.
So, yeah, so that helped me out a lot. So, like I said, I do have a little bit of all of it. And I think it's a time and place for it. Because even in business, as we have a business, I have to be aggressive at times. And sometimes I have to be passive aggressive. Sometimes I have to be assertive, So, yeah, it works out.
Good. Good. I used to make my employees cry. And I didn't think I was saying anything bad. I was saying what just needed to be said. And Gail would always tell me, she said, you're gonna have to you're gonna have to kind of reword it the way I said it. I don't like to say a lot of words. So I like to get to the point. I don't want to make nobody cry. Amen. So we got to have some sensitivity. You know, we can't just, if we go to Minister Curry, I want to go to Minister Curry. As Christians, and this is in the church context, biblical context, we want to be like Christ-like. We want to have a mind of Christ, communication of Christ. Our words few, seasoned with grace. So this is why we're dealing with this. You can't just say anything you want to say. But you have to find a way to say what needs to be said. Amen. Go ahead.
I got a statement and a question. My statement is, I'm more like a passive communicator. I hold things in. I shouldn't. I'm getting better. Me and Edmund, I'm getting better. But my question is, communication. Sometimes we gotta watch our tone, cause your tone could be sarcastic. Your tone could be mean. So how can we help that? What can we do to watch our tone?
Man, you just gotta have the shovel. Sometimes you gotta put that little. You know how on television. Ever since Janet Jackson, they put a delay, Janet Jackson and Justin Timberlake. And ever since then, they put a delay on the Super Bowl, and so you seeing it really 5-10 seconds after it's occurring. And so sometimes when we're about to address, especially in maybe a hostile situation, we have to kind of think for a second before we say, just put that delay, check your tone. Usually, even when I prepare a message, I'll be like, well, what is the purpose of this message? What's the tone of this message? Because if I'm preparing a message because people done fell off tithing or giving, and then I want to talk about giving, I have to watch the tone. A message has a tone. So you have to ask yourself, even like before you say it, like, okay, what is the purpose of what I'm about to say this? Okay, let me check myself first. But some things need to be said. Growth comes through communication. And sometimes we're too quiet, and that's why we don't get any growth, because we don't communicate. All right? Let's go. I think Brother Marcus said we're going to come back to Camara. Amen. Oh, no, Elder had it? Go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't know Elder had it. Go ahead. Y'all making this easy. I need some popcorn.
I found myself in between passive and passive-aggressive communicator due to, like Pastor Gail was saying, low self-esteem or childhood trauma that I went through and my self-worth. I just said, you know, okay, whatever, just to not be confrontational, because from a conversation that I seen when I was younger, I saw it go to abuse, violence. So I never wanted to really be confrontational. So I just, you know, passive communicator and let things ride. But then the passive aggressive, because I hold so much in, when I do begin to communicate, sometimes there's sarcasm in there. You see the anger come out. So, you know, how do we as men, especially men that deal with trauma in their childhood, how do you deal with that, get over it, and be effective communicators? Sometimes in the world we're saying, oh, men are from Venus. men are Venus or Mars or whatever that is, meaning the language that we communication between male and female are different. So how do we as men get over that trauma to be able to effectively communicate to our wives and our family?
That's great, man. I think that's a great question. And I think it's at different levels. It depends on the severity of the trauma. I think that people like we had last week, like Dr. Kennard, sometimes you actually have to work through some things, and you have to bring healing to that, to communicate. I loved because we think Jesus healing the mute is just a physical healing, but God wants to heal the broken communication. because that's a form of being mute. That's a form of the inability to communicate. So you have a spiritual level in which you say, God, you know, help me in this area because I got some blockages in my communication here. And I've let a lot of things go by, and I've been so passive because I wanted to avoid conflict because of what I experienced. Then you also have that professional level where you say, you know, I'm going to go work through some things. And then here's another level. I think sometimes we get so used to functioning in family the way it's been. Pastor Gail and I often have to go back because we got married so young. We had to reestablish communication. There was times Pastor Gail said, listen, I don't like the way you talk to me. Your tone is very demeaning. And there was a period of time because we got married so young, I said, why in the world am I in this marriage? I'm so young and all that. And then it reflected my communication, right? But then she would address it. And so sometimes you have to go back to the table, sit around your table, and we're going to do this here in a few. We're going to say, how would I like to be communicated to? How do I need people to communicate? So you need to sit around, sit with your wife, sit with your children, and say, listen, okay, this is how I like to be communicated to. This is how I think I communicate. Tell me what you hear in my communications. And then this is how I like to be communicated. I don't like tone. Tone triggers me. Certain words trigger me. If you say everything or you always, that triggers me. So you sit around and you rebuild the walls of communication. If you're not willing to do that, we go nowhere. And the enemy has attacked, the enemy has attacked our communication, but then Jesus has come after our communication. The Holy Spirit, fire of tongues, comes on our tongues. You speak life, you speak or death with your tongue. The power of life and death is what? Blessing and cursings and the tongue. So this is where we have to go back to. Offense in the church, division in the church, comes from the heart, of course, but it's articulated in our tongue, our language, and not just our language, our body language. So you go back to the table. I don't care if it's, we still work on our communication. 39 years, we still work on our communication. But we're willing to work on our communication. Amen. Pastor Gail told me one time, and thank God for y'all watch John and Gail, because we're picking up piggyback on this conversation, and we had a great input on this past Wednesday. And you guys tune in on Wednesdays at 7 o'clock on Jen to Jen and John and Gail, because we're gonna talk about this. But I remember, matter of fact, I won't even share that. I'll hold it to John and Gail. So you'll be Wednesdays at 7. All right, come here. Let's go. And then DeMarcus, did you? You're good? You're good? Okay. All right.
Okay. I'll answer the question first. I think I grew up pretty passive, but I come from like a pretty like kind of loud, opinionated family. So sometimes it was like, I'll just let you have it. It's not worth the, not even argument, just everything.
Keep that mic close.
Passive. Okay. So I was pretty passive, but I wanted to touch on his question about tone. And so this may come from the passive part of me, but I think more people have to be empathetic when thinking about communication, because you can say all the right things, but if you're not thinking, like, how will this person best receive this? So I can say, like, I feel like you made me feel this way, but if I'm yelling at you, it doesn't matter how I feel, if that's true or not, nobody's going to receive it like that. So you kind of, I think a lot of it is just being empathetic towards whoever you're communicating to.
So you just hear that tone. That tone shuts it all down.
Yeah. I could say all the right things, but if I say it the wrong way.
Okay. Yeah, I think Brother DeJean had his. Did you have your? He's coming. And we're going to do this for a little while longer, then we're going to address. Think about, how do I communicate with you? What are some of the do's and don'ts when I come to you?
So I'm going to answer the question regarding communications and then just drop a little nuggets. I'm an assertive communicator. I get that from my mom. I will address what needs to be addressed. I'm not aggressive, but I won't let you speak any type of way to me. I will communicate to you if there's something that hits me the wrong way, or I didn't like your tone, or the communication needs to be corrected, right? I get that from my mom. She's very, very assertive. Doesn't matter who it is. If she feels some type of way, she has no problem addressing it. And she knows how to tailor a conversation where she can get her thoughts across. We kind of got that because my mother, when we were growing up, she used to implement, like, it was like Family Friday. So we were allowed to say what we felt that either any of our parents did to us without any reprisal. She created this space. So as kids, what we do is that we'll bottle it all in until Friday and then unload on her. But the goal that she wanted was for us to keep an open line of communication with her. If we did something that we thought was wrong, to let her know. And then she'll give us a reasoning why she did it. As long as she came in respect, my mom was able to receive it. But the nuggets that I want to drop is that if we remember these percentages, it's 55%, 38%, 7%. So when we're communicating with individuals, 55% of the communication that is being received is your body language. So people are already reading you from your body language. 38% is tonality, your tone. 7% is the words that you say. So if we look at that, if 7% is what you're actually saying, that means they are already reading your body language and your tone to determine how the result of the conversation is going to get. So if your body language is off and your tone is off, already you're at 93% of your whatever you want to say is not being heard. And when we speak, like,
Or being heard.
Absolutely. Yeah. Our emotions are aggressive. Like, we feel an intensity. When I'm upset, I'm upset. I'm not just a little bit upset. Then it's not really upset. You're probably disappointed. Or you're probably feeling let down. But we when we're happy, we're happy. I don't think I'm just a little bit happy. Then that little bit of happy is not really a little bit of happy. It's another emotion that's taking predominance in your body. So when we feel with great intensity. And then we speak from that intensity. So the work that is being done that we have to work on with ourselves and with communication with others is how not to put emotion to our words, but put language to our emotion. So if I am upset, I can put my language and say, this affected me in this way. Instead of me putting the emotion on the language, I'm upset at you, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Thank you. Thank you. Now, I would say, I want to add to that, because I language to our emotions, I think, is a really good point, because I don't think you should dismiss your emotions. I got to go to Tony. Brother Tony had his hand up. Bring that, because people need to see that. They need to see how that made you feel. And I just really want, because you know how sometimes you could be in a discussion and you could say, oh, you're just emotional. So you're dismissing the communication. You're devaluing it. You're saying, you know, basically what you're saying, once you get over this emotional feeling, you'll be better. But emotions, you need to show the emotions, but language on the emotions, amen. Again, setting the boundaries so that you don't let it turn into something it shouldn't. All right.
I just wanted to say that I think a very important part of communication is the art of listening.
Good.
Because that's one thing that we don't do. We don't have the listening skills.
Good.
I learned that from my wife. I would come in from work and work hard all day, put in all these hours. I come in, Good. 2 o'clock in the morning, she wouldn't have a conversation. And I'm like, I'm tired. I don't feel like talking about this. But I had to realize that, and then what she told me, what we did talk about, was very trivial to me. It really, you know, I'm like, this didn't even make sense. But what I had to realize, what didn't make sense to me made all the sense in the world, meant everything to her.
Good.
So I had to take that, and so I learned to listen, even with my children, the same way, learning to listen and not just being, you know, the leader of the conversation all the time, but listening, was because some people say, you know, you're listening, but you're not hearing me.
Good.
You know, so, yeah, I just wanted to add that.
That's amen. Thank you for adding that, because we have to do that. What is the theme this month? It's family reimagined. Pastor Willie, do you have, okay. And then we're gonna go to Kyra, right after Pastor Willie, okay.
Thank you. It's short and sweet. And everything everybody said, it all boils down to.
Hold it closer, Pastor Willie, just so we can hear.
It all boils down to put your mind in motion before putting your mouth in gear, because.
Put your mind in motion. Hold up now, hold up. Put your mind in motion before putting your mouth in gear.
Because that's when things go wrong if you don't have mouth in the gear.
Okay. Amen. That's Kyra, go to Kyra. All right, guys.
Good morning. So I'm going to answer the original question. I've been sitting here trying to figure out, what is my communication style?
Yeah.
And from with a lot of opinions from my sister, I've come up with something.
With, hold up.
So, I know for a fact that I am not passive, never have been, never will be, but I am aggressive with those that I love, and I'm assertive with folks that I don't know. So, and I feel like that just comes from, like, when you know and love some people, they already have a place with your emotions. So being aggressive with someone or trying to express something and it's not getting across, it just leads to like frustration and anger and not being understood. So it comes off with like an aggressive type of communication. And then with people that I don't know, we're gonna have this very assertive conversation. I'm gonna say what I'm gonna say. I'm gonna respect you, you know what I'm saying? Cause I want you to respect me, but I'm gonna get my point across and you're gonna understand what's being said. I think for me, I'm aggressive with those that I do love, and I'm assertive with people that I don't know. You right, girl, never passive, never passive. Assertive with folks that I don't know.
You're going to take us down like I-75 to Ohio. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Because, too, even with, like, people that you don't know but want them to be a part of your life, I'm not going to allow you to take me to this aggressive communication form that I already allow the people that I already do love in my life to do it. So that also comes with, like, the building boundaries. I feel like an assertive form of communication is a way to build effective boundaries, because it's just letting you know ahead of time, like, you know what I'm saying, this is how it is, this is how I want to be spoken to, this is how we're going to communicate with each other, because I can't allow you to become someone that I care about, and then I can't have an effective form of communication.
Okay, thank you for sharing. Thank you. Always. Now, okay, but you're saying, and you can come back to me as far as a camera. I'm aggressive with the people I love. Go ahead, Pastor, because I'm trying not to open.
You see how assertive that was. That's how I function. But I appreciate how you brought in the difference between the assertive and the aggressive being applied to the people that you love and the emotional aspect of it. That's, you know, I never really made that connection. So I appreciate that you were bringing in the emotional aspect.
Thank you for that.
Aggressiveness.
Thank you for that. But I think at the same time, we have to set boundaries. You have to set boundaries over the aggressive. And even when I'm hearing you talk, it's like I'm going to be heard, and this is how you're going to deal with me, and I'm going to dictate, you know, this situation, and if you step in the bubble of my relationship, this is how you're going to function. So that's, I'm hearing some of that, which may need to be dialed down, because everybody not willing to kind of go your speed, and they are an individual. And what Tony had just said, we got to employ the listening too, and don't forget compassion and patience and a desire to understand. So not only do I want to just say aggressively with my family members, my posture, how are you going to deal with me, but I also want to hear from you, because maybe you are dealing with me in a certain way and I'm just not seeing it. Maybe you are respecting me and I'm just not seeing it. So I want to just lay down, and you may not be saying that, so this, if it doesn't apply, but I said just before you lay down hard lines, just have some flexibility. Let's go to LaKyra. Let's have, and then we'll come back to Sister Kim. And we ain't going to be here at 1 o'clock. It's Father's Day now. I'm going. Y'all sit up here.
Hello. Now, I'm the opposite. I'm very passive with the people I love. Like, they can do anything, like, basically. And I'm like, okay, out of love, I'm going to just get them another chance. But then with men, from my trauma and from watching my mom grow up, I'm very aggressive when it comes to men. I'm going to say what I say. I don't care. Like,
wow.
I don't care when it comes to a man talking to me. And depending on how they're talking to me or how they make me feel, it can get very aggressive. But now I'm trying to learn to be more assertive and not come off aggressive all the time, because sometimes that scare a lot of people away, and some people don't mean to come to me like that, but it's just my own trauma that I have with men and how men have talked to me, that automatically when it comes to a man trying to tell me something or trying to even try to guide me in some type of way, it's an automatic shutdown. I can't allow you to say it to me. It's a no.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Thank you for sharing that. So you already know what you need to work on. And not only that, you know where it came from. You know where that system comes from. And connecting that is like, if you get healed from that trauma, it's going to affect your communication. I'll say this, and I think Sister Kim, we're going to Sister Kim, I'll say this. Confession is communication. And that's why the Bible says, confess your faults one to another. In other words, I'm actually going to share with you and communicate with you an area of struggle. Bringing that to the surface and submitting it to accountability changes your life instantly, because now it's brought to the light and it's not in the dark anymore. That's why a lot of men and women, they get into pornography, sexual sins, things of that nature. They keep it in the dark. They don't bring it to light. In the church, you know, we're taught in the church that sin is shameful and should be hidden. And so you have churches full of people, saints that love God but are struggling with sin because they don't have a conversation. And that's a whole other topic, conversation about their sin. There's not one person in here that's not struggling. I got saved at 14 years old, and I know areas of vulnerability that I have to keep my parameters up. But if we confess, just like you did, but this is where it come from, this is what I need to do, just bringing it to the surface and not this thing where we hide everything. That's how we grow. Sister Kim, and then just maybe one or two more. We got Sister Gwen. And then we're going to.
To answer the question, I guess starting out younger, I guess I started as being passive, had older parents. You're seen, but you're really not heard. I'll say that you're seen, but you're really not heard. As I got older, I realized it just something that clicked in my head. And I was like, you know what? I'm grown here.
I don't know whether it was my age, but I was like, I am grown. And I remember one day saying that. So I jump in and out of all of them. And one of the things that I live by is think before reacting. And I always pause and I always assess the situation. I'm also thinking about feelings. And I always say, Lord, I'm always saying it. Sometimes I might be saying it out loud. I'm like, Lord, help me to direct me to which one of these should I be? How should I communicate? And sometimes I even ask the person, do you want me to bottom line this? And that was one of my favorite lines.
I like that line.
I'm going to tell you, not in any particular way, because I can't go there with the facial expressions. And that's one thing. Body language and facial expressions is what the Lord is going to have to deal. He's constantly dealing with me. But I'll ask family members, do you want me to bottom line this? Because I'm going to give you the facts. I'm going to tell you this and that. Because I love you. I'm going to tell you how it is.
Yeah.
But I'm always assessing the situation because I'm always considering feelings because I want my feelings considered. I want you to tell me the truth, but it's also how am I presenting this? And that's why I'm always asking God. Like I said, I'm thinking before I react, and I'm always pausing. If somebody's asking me something, I'm in my head, I'm praying. And if I can, I'm turning my back, saying it out loud. Lord, help me to say the right thing because I want to be heard and I don't want any feelings, because once you get the feelings in there, then you got your situation and now you're dealing with the feelings that you've caused because you're trying to, you know, communicate. Yeah. So
I like that. You got to be, it can't be just about you. You have to consider the person you're talking to. And what is the purpose of communication if you can't receive it, you don't, you know, or I'm going to cause you to shut down, or it's just gonna fester strife? It's not fruitful communication. It's not fruitful communication.
One last thing, if you really care, it takes work.
It takes work.
Because all that I'm saying, especially when you're dealing with different family members, you gotta deal with every family member different, you're dealing with your husband different,
yeah,
on your job situation. So it's like a back and forth. It's almost like being an actress. It's work. Respect the situation, you're going to put in the work. You just have to put in the work, and you get used to doing it. Just like I said, I go in and out of the communicators.
Good, good. Thank you for sharing that. Thank you. Amen. All right. We good? Oh, Sister Gwen, and she's going. Then we're going to go to our homework. You don't have to stand if you don't want.
I'm gonna stand up. I appreciate what Brother Monte said about him, his family having that, his mother initiating the
Family Friday.
Family Friday. If we had, if our parents had done that, we probably could have avoided having any kind of real issues from childhood.
Yeah.
With my siblings, because our parents were strict.
Yeah.
And it was like, better not roll your eyes, better not, you know, mumble under your breath, none of that. And God forbid you embarrass them out in public. Oh, my God. So it's like, but they weren't always right, and we realized that, but it was like, yeah, we can't say that, though. we can't tell them. We couldn't tell them until we got grown. And then we would reminisce about stuff, and then they would like, we did that? Yes. Yes, you said that. Yes, you did that.
And so now this is like years later.
Yeah, you know, we at least could express that, you know, we like this because you said this and did that, and you know, and they're like so surprised. It's like, really? We looking at them like, really, really? And so it's like, y'all have amnesia or something? They changed. They changed rules on us after our youngest brother was born. For years, me and my twin were like, why can't we do that? And well, this, that, and the other, right? As soon as our brother, younger brother was born, was like, we're like, wait, you didn't let us do that? You didn't let us do that? Wait, what happened? Where are the people that raised us? How he getting away with all this stuff? You know? What happened to our parents? So I knew growing up when I got involved with the church in a particular church ministry where it was the deliverance ministry.
Yeah.
I was like, I had a conversation with God. As the man of God was talking, because he was talking about he gonna you know, deliver people from these demons and I was like, God, I know I have some suppressed anger from way back. I was like, he don't need to be trying to go like a pop bottle and you just shook it up. He mean to like unscrew it and go psh. I was like, no, we can't have that. Mm-mm. He got to go a little bit. I said, it take you and me, God, because we got to get it down, to peel it down to where maybe it might be a little bit, you know, because gotcha. It would just be too much. It would. I was like, I seen my relatives snap, okay,
gotcha.
And be angry and like just go off. And I'm like, I do not want to do that.
I understand. Gotcha. Amen.
So.
Gotcha.
Obviously, thank how you. We are came from our parents not letting us express.
So, yeah. All right. So you really didn't learn. You didn't learn. The portals of communication were closed. But Brother DeJean, with Family Friday, the family kept the portals open. Communication was a safe place. They created an environment that even conflict. You got to have conflict. If you're going to have a healthy family, you got to be able to have conflict. But you got to be able to have boundaries around your conflict, because there's a purpose for conflict. Purpose for conflict is not just being heard and let me just blast you because you offended me. That's not the purpose of conflict. It's to bring restoration, reconciliation, to bring healing. So Family Fridays for that family was a safe place to bring conflict, to bring to assess and be able to just share. And when you don't have that, like you're describing, then the portals of communication are closed. So where does it go? If you can't communicate and the portals are closed, it's going to lead to frustration, and you're going to internalize, you know, and you're going to process it differently. And sometimes there's wounds, and where the healing would come through communication, understanding, you don't have that healing now. You don't have that, you don't resolve that. Even with parents deceased, they weren't part of your life. You never had that. You never had that closure, that communication. So there's a lot to process. So what I want you to do as we get the last thing we'll do today, I want you got your index cards, there's pens on the table. And I want you to just maybe write one or two things about, you know, this, the I like to be communicated through with, or you know, how do you like? What? How do I get through to you? How do you receive? What's your hearing style? Like, I like to, I like people to have when they come to me. I like them to be empathetic. Family Fridays. How do I communicate with you? Through affirmation. You can think about the positive by reversing the negative. Don't come to me pointing your finger. Then your communication would be, you know, I like when somebody, you know, relaxed. A body language is the best way to communicate. Don't have tone. Tone triggers me. So an opposite of that, an even voice. I like to be communicated with an even voice, even tone. Like I told you all, sometimes in the morning I see Pastor Gail, I greet him with my arms like this, you know. That's body language. And that just helps the day get started right. There was a time that in the mornings, Pastor Gail would be like, well, let me get my hug. And she would, and we would hug for 30 seconds, 20 seconds. And that was a little bit chat because they're so long. I was trying to get ready. but it was important to her, so we communicated But sometimes physical proximity is a real shutdown based on where you've been, what you've experienced. Then, right under that, what area of communication, I need to work on my tone, I need to work on my body language, I need to work on my facial expression, I need to work on when I talk to men, I need to work on when I talk to women, I need to work on when I talk to white women, I need to work on when I talk to white men. Sometimes it's somebody else in your family tree, I need to work on when I talk to Johnny, I need to work on when I talk to Susie, because Susie sure triggers me. I need to work on when I talk to my wife, my husband. So now you're saying, okay, this is my preferred method to communicate to me. Now this is an area I need to work on. And I would encourage our first altar, our first communication is to God. Our first communication is to God. Disciples said, Jesus, teach us how to communicate to God. And he said, this is your approach. This is your posture. This is your tone, a place of reverence, out of a place of respect. Out of a place of intimacy. This is what Jesus did. He told them, it's not just the Lord's Prayer. It is how you communicate with God. Our Father, and you can pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, holy or hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. And that's what Jesus was saying. He's saying, this is your tone. This is your posture. This is how you communicate with God. We have that altar. Genesis, we have that altar. God comes in the earth. The earth is all broken. Sometimes our communication, people, is void and is dark. It doesn't have any structure. It's formless. God, how does God heal the void, the dark, the confusion? He heals it through communication. God said, let there be light. First thing he does, turn the light on. I mean, this whole purpose of this month, reimagining the family, recreate the family. And God, the Holy Spirit just suspended us in the area of communication. You can recreate your family through healed communication. God said, let there be light. And there was light. And then he assessed his light. Said, this is good. You need to look at your family communication, and you need to assess it, and you need to see if it's good. First, communication with God, then our family, and sometimes it's communication with our family, with God. With our family, with God. You know what? Before we talk and before we get into this area, let's pray. Together, let's talk to God. Then God went on and created the earth, and what did he do? He created man. He created woman because it wasn't good for man to be alone. And then God gave man speech. He said, I want you to communicate and name the animals. That's what I want you to do. I'm a communicator. I want you to be a communicator. Adam sees Eve and he says, this is woman. He communicates. This is an area, amen, where we get control of our tongue, our heart, amen. We'll have great victory and great progress in our lives. Amen. Another scripture, John 1, because I don't want us just to have a discussion and not have biblical basis of this. John 1, we talked about the Lord's Prayer. We talked about how God speaks. Jesus comes, sent into the earth. John 1 said, in the beginning was what? The Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. In other words, Jesus came as the mouthpiece, the communication of God. He said the Word was in him and the Word was made flesh. Jesus was so much the Word, amen, everything he said, the Father would say. every word he used, the Father would use. He was so absorbed in the Father's communication, he was able to communicate it with humanity. It's powerful. It's powerful. God wants to heal our communication. God wants to heal our communication. He wants you to redig the wells of your communication. He wants you to dig. And this is the last thing, a scripture, Genesis 26. When Isaac went to redig the well, the first well he gets to, he can't dig it because the Bible says they quarreled over the, or they argued, or in the Hebrew, they formed a legal argument over the well. It was a famine in the land. And hear me, there was a famine in the land. Isaac needed to redig the wells of his father. The Philistines got upset and they covered up the wells because Isaac prospered. He needed to redig those wells, but because of the argument, he could not dig the wells. Sometimes it's the way we're communicating that's stopping us from tapping in and accessing what God has for us. It is not the will of God that families are divided because we can't communicate one another. Amen. It's not the will of God. We shout in the church, prophesy in the church, sing songs in the church, dance in the church, do all these things. When we get home, our communication is toxic. That is not the will of God. So Spirit of God is all up in your business because he wants you to turn that which is dark and that which is formless, that which is toxic, that which is unhealthy, that which needs forgiveness, that which needs healing, that which needs reconciliation, that which needs re-imaging to be recreated. God wants you to deal with that. He wants you to deal with that. So the Lord wants me to deal with my communication. Not only your way to be able to be heard, but you also your ability to listen. Be willing to forgive. Be willing to forgive. Be willing to say, you know what, communication is a pillar of our house. It's going to be a pillar of our house because we can't establish vision. We can't establish mission. We can't deal with our family name. We can't deal with our family person, a purpose. We can't lay a legacy. We can't establish inheritance. We can't blaze the trail. We can't be a forerunner. We can't set the tone for our sons and daughters. We can't set the tone for those that are looking at our lives if we don't know how to communicate with one another. Everything hinges on it. Everything hinges on it. Let's stand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Not only was when you're redigging the wells, there's a couple of things that come into play. It's your willingness to redig the wells. It's dealing with the controversy that can come when redigging the wells, but also the hardness of the ground. The hardness of the ground. If your heart is hard and you're just not gonna hear the communication because you said, listen, this is not just gonna work, this is fruitless, it's just not going anywhere. Your heart is hard. If you're not willing to grow, shift, change, listen to things that were shared, listen to people being very transparent this morning, amen, your heart is so hard, amen, you'll never change. You'll be here or somewhere else this time next year still dealing with those communication barriers. You got to be able to break through the ground, the hardness of the heart, to access the flow of God. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I'm not going to ask you to come up for this one, but if you say, I acknowledge I got some communication issues, I got to work on these issues, I know that they're just impeding some things in my life, they're in the way, I've just kind of let it free flow, I got some triggers and things, I've been hurtful to family, hurtful to loved ones, and I just got to work on this. Just raise your hand where you are. Amen. I got to work on it. I got to work on it. Yeah. And that's good. That's good. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord. Father, this is such a untypical just way of doing service on a Sunday morning, but this is just where we at in this month of June. And we thank you, Father, that people are sharing and they're opening up and they're identifying, and the Spirit of God is shedding light on just areas of communication, because you want our households to be healed, to be healed. Holy Spirit has purpose and design and destiny for our homes, Lord. And it's not a small thing, Father. And we don't want to just be in church spinning our wheels and the same every day of the week, and then come the same month after month, year after year. God, heal our hearts. Heal us from past trauma and past hurts and past rejection and past betrayals. In the name of Jesus, heal communications between husband and wives. Heal communication, Lord, between siblings. Heal communication between friends. Give us how to communicate in the workplace, Father. It is a way to be a witness for Jesus. You said you'd give us power to become witnesses. And that witness is through communication, whether it be body, whether it be through tone, whether it be through words, Father. We yield to your will, God. In the name of Jesus, let the light come into our hearts. Let the light of the Spirit of God come into our hearts and just reveal and just heal and reveal and just heal and just reveal and heal. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And we submit our tongues, and we submit, Father, to the wisdom of the Spirit of God. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Now, if there's anyone here that you say, well, I received that, and this is for live stream as well. I received that, but I just want to touch and agree over an area of prayer. Amen. Then I invite you to come quickly if that's you. If anyone wants personal prayer, amen. If not, we're gonna move on. Amen. If that's you, though, but you're, amen, you can come. Amen. All right. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord, for saving. We thank you, Lord, for healing. We thank you for deliverance. Anyone watching via live stream, amen, Jesus is Lord. Amen. You cannot sometimes, I mean, you just cannot control your tongue through willpower and all that. Sometimes you need healing. You need deliverance. You need forgiveness. You need to know that you are forgiven. Jesus is the master of Savior. He is what Michael Jordan was to basketball. He is to salvation. He can save you. He can recreate you and cause you to be a new creature, that before you spoke death, now you speak life. All you got to do is accept Jesus as Lord of your life. You can put that, amen. There's a number, an email in the comments, amen. You can, amen, reach out to us, and we can call you and communicate with you and let you know what's next in Jesus' name. Those viewing live stream, please share, tag, invite others to watch. Amen. Say, check this service out. This was different. Amen. Check the service out. Amen. It's going to focus on communication. Amen. In Jesus' name. Even the person you're trying to communicate with, share this with them. Amen. As a precursor to engaging them in communication. In Jesus' name. There's ways to give on your screen. Amen. Be a blessing to this house. Sow. Amen. Give. Amen. Just don't look at the broadcast. Be blessed by the broadcast, but never sow. There are people that look every week, but never sow. Amen. If you're being blessed, amen, sow into this house. Amen. Be a blessing to this house in Jesus' name. Join me tomorrow at 6 a.m. and we'll be praying for families and calling them by name at 6 a.m. And that information is available on our website as well. God bless you. Live stream. Have a tremendous week. We speak blessing, restoration, and healing in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Let's give our live stream order, connect to community.